Today, we're in verses 9 and 10, but let's begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse number 10. John chapter 1, verse number 1. This is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, the opportunity we have today to share in it with the church. We ask your blessing upon this time. We ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, and help us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ the Son through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, this is our fourth Sunday in Advent, and our focus today is love. We've burned the candles representing hope and joy and peace. And today we light the fourth representing love. That is the pink candle that you see down there today. Love is rooted deep in our celebration and observance of Christmas. We've already read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As Jesus came to be born in a manger in Bethlehem, the love of God shined bright into this world. Sadly, in our text today, we read that though God loved the world this much, though God loved us this much, the world did not receive him. Is there any greater love? To know that you are going to be rejected, to know that you are not going to be received, but to still go. That's great love. And this is what we see in our text today. I want to focus today on love. The world knew him not. We want to begin in verse number 9 as we consider this idea of the true light. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, previously we read that John was sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, to testify of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And this was so that all men might believe. Jesus was that light, and that was the true light. In saying that, John is saying to us and for us to understand and to even proclaim that all other lights are imperfect. What did Jesus himself say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All other lights are imperfect. They are not lasting. They do not endure. They are not permanent. Not all other lights are false, and surely not all other lights are bad. We can consider the lights of life. If you're like me, you've got little children around the house, and you can't wait for Christmas Day, and it's not so that I can open up the new gadget or the... My family's not... Well, Henry's in here. I guess I should... You know, I can't wait to get those new bedroom slippers. You know what I mean? It's just... I'm looking forward to them. My other ones smell, and they're torn, and I need a new pair. But that's not the light for me. It's seeing the light in my children's eyes as they approach Christmas. You know, it's already there. It fills the room. That light is not bad and it's not false, certainly. The puppies. Puppies bring light. They just do. I mean, until they do what they do on your carpet and you don't want them to do this. But puppies bring light. They're cute and they're soft and they're cuddly and their faces just say, you know, hold me. Puppies. The first warm rain of summertime. Certainly that's not a false light. Certainly it's not a bad light. Or that first bright winter's snow. You just can't beat that. Now this morning doesn't count. It would have been perfect if we had an inch or two that didn't get the roads covered and you'd come in this morning and I could say that. That would have been just right. But these are lights in life, and you could think of a million more. They are not false and they are not bad, but they are imperfect. They are fleeting. Other lights are not eternal. But this was the true light. Other lights simply flicker. They emit partial rays. They are nothing more than a reflection. Think of the moon. There's no source within itself, but it brights up the sky every single night. These are other lights. And the writer says to us, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light. Jesus is real. He is genuine. This is how we like things. Coke made a lot of money by declaring that it was the real thing. We like the real thing. We want the right stuff. We want something that is genuine. My pastor that I grew up under, we loved him. He wouldn't use a Bible that didn't say genuine leather on the back right there. He wanted the genuine Word of God, and it had to have printed genuine leather right there. I think one time he wrote it himself, maybe. We like things genuine. Do you guys like mashed potatoes? Oh, man, I love mashed. It's a little too close to dinner for us to be talking about, or lunch, whatever you call it, for us to be talking about mashed potatoes, isn't it? But, I mean, you know, I'll take it from the box. You want to pour some powder out there, put enough butter in it, I may not even know the difference, drink it through a straw. But if when it comes right down to it, I want the real thing. I mean, get a potato out and mash it up and put some butter in there and whatever else you put in there, and that's the real deal. Jesus, that was the true light. He was real. He is genuine. We've already learned from the text that He is eternal. He is God become man. He is from the beginning. He is the creator of all things, even life. This life is the light. The light which lights every man. What is John saying there? That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No one is deprived of this light. Even the one who lives and dies and never accepts Christ as their Savior and goes to hell is not deprived of this light. Their life on earth, as empty as it may be, is all the more better because of the light of Christ in the world today. You think the world is bad. You imagine what it would be like without the presence of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Christians. Some of you have been to places where it's close. But no one is deprived of the light. God reveals something of Himself to all. Romans 1, 19 and 20, Paul tells us this. He writes, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No one is deprived of the light. All are without excuse. Don't you hate when you're without excuse? When I was younger, I'd make a lot of excuses, and I was working for a church at the time. The youth pastor, you know, the guy everybody makes fun of. He's always late. He's never dressed as he should be. He always has some wacky idea that everybody else thinks is just crazy. Where did he come up with this stuff? You know, that was me. I was that guy, the typical one. My pastor did not like excuses. I have become him, I know. Some of you know that about me. But he'd say, you might as well tell me you've got a gallon of milk at home in the fridge, and that's why you were late to work this morning. What does a gallon of milk have to do with me being late to work this morning? He said, what does a flat tire have to do with you being late to work this morning? That was his thinking. So in his mind, I was without excuse. That's pretty harsh, but that's the way we lived. Showed up one morning over there. We had a funeral, and I was in my best suit, black suit, you know. Had my shoes shine. I was looking good for the funeral. It's what you're supposed to do. And he says, go get the blower and blow off this patio here. As folks come up, I want it to be clean. I'm in my suit. He said, I don't care. So here I go and get gas and smelly all over my suit. You know, the rest of the day, all the other staff said, Chance, you stink like gas. You need to go home and change. Why did you come in those clothes? And that's what I get for being early. I was without excuse. Paul writes here that we are all without excuse. And John is elaborating there on the point, or maybe Paul is elaborating on John, but the idea is that the light shines to all men. No one is deprived. God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. Jesus, the true light, came into the world And he shines a light, offering life to all. I love the imagery of the Bethlehem star, Christmas time. Oh, it's just great. The light is coming, and what is telling people that it is about to be, there's this star, this sign in the sky, a bright light. It's a great thought. Next, in verse number 10, we get to the negative of the sermon today, is that the world knew him not. That was the true light, but the world knew him not. And we see three headings in this verse. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Let's begin with he was in the world. Jesus is with us. He came as a baby in a manger, but his coming was no passing visit. Now, we understand that it was in the literal sense. He came and he did what he came to do. He ascended back to the Father, and he will come again. We understand it in that sense. But since his first advent, he is here. He didn't die and his life was over. He remains. He is the light of this world, which owes its very existence to him. So he was in the world. The world was made by him. Well, this is verse 3 again, isn't it? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I like how direct and matter-of-fact John is with that. Because we know all means all, and that's all that all means. All things were made by him. And if that wasn't enough, he says, and without him was not anything made that was made. Some of you work for a guy or a gal that without them was not any decision made that was made. Can I get a witness there? Some of you work for that person. You're going to go see them tomorrow. You have to be quiet. Brother Jason, you need to control your wife. Yeah. But this is the idea. Without Jesus was not anything made that was made. This, the cosmos, he is all, he is in all, he is through all, it's all him. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The world was ordered by him. Wait, this is important. The world was adorned by him. The world that God loves so much, the realm. What do we mean by world? The realm where human beings live, the people who exist within this realm, this world. He made and came into and inhabits this world, knew him not. What an accusation. What a horrible thing to read. What a shameful thing to have to say aloud, especially at Christmas time. As he leaves the splendor of the majesty of his Father, of heavenly places where the earth is his footstool, and becomes a baby who didn't even have a place. Just had a manger, had a place for an animal. He came. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the world knew him not. We all know of him. The name of Jesus is known throughout all of history to all the ends of the earth. All cultures, all languages, all belief systems know something of Jesus Christ. But most do not know him, as John writes here. Knowing in this text is a relational concept. It's not an intellectual concept. It's a relational concept. We would say around the church, you have head knowledge, but you have no heart knowledge. How many of you grew up and that was a saying around the church? That was a big thing, you know. I don't say that much anymore, but that I grew up and that was what you said. The idea is there, though. We are not saved through an intellectual knowledge. We are saved through a relational knowledge. We say it all the time. Jesus said, I never knew you. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by the world knew him not? In Genesis 4, we are introduced to that concept initially in Scriptures. Adam is said to know his wife. This was relational. He came to know more than just Eve's name. He came to know more than just her favorite color. They were husband and wife. They were closer to each other than anything else in the world. This was not merely an intellectual knowing. Fruit came from that knowing. So we understand that term, know, to be a relational term, and then we apply it back to John's text as he says, that was the true light, but the world knew him not. They were aware, but they had no relationship with him. Well, what is this a result of? This is a result of our spiritual blindness. Because of spiritual blindness, we are not aware of the coming of the light. Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. Are you familiar with Dr. Barnhouse? I hope that's a familiar name for you. Read about him. Read him. He was preaching in Ireland during the beginning of World War II. And this was during a time of the German bombings. And so at a certain time every night, you kind of had to turn off all your lights. They had blackouts so that you weren't a target from the sky. This was smart, and this was the thing to do. But Dr. Barnhouse, at that time, was in the midst of evening Bible studies. And you know us preachers, everything's more important, or nothing is more important than our Bible studies. You know, we said we're going to have them, we're going to have them. We'll just have them in the dark, he said. So they had them in the dark. Well, one night, they're in the midst of this evening Bible study in the dark, and he's been preaching for a few minutes. And somebody forgot about the blackout, and to go to the restroom or to come sit down or something, they just happened to reach over and grab the light switch and flip on the lights. Well, that startled the crowd. He had to stop this preaching for just a minute. There was a stir. The lights quickly went back off, and that was the end of it. And as things begin to go quiet again to begin back the preaching, one man sitting up here on the front row couldn't be consoled, and he whispered sort of loudly. You ever met somebody who can't whisper? Whisper, but you can still hear them, you know. If you're that person, you shouldn't gossip, especially with a whisper, because we heard you. And he said, what happened? Why did he stop preaching? This man was blind. He had no idea that the lights had come on. He could not see. Well, this is us. This is mankind. Spiritually blind, mankind cannot see that the light has come into the world. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We love that song, don't we? He is the light. He came into the world, but most of the world went along as if nothing had happened. That is, until John the Baptist comes along proclaiming, Jesus is the light of the world. This is what we were told last time. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. The world is spiritually blind. John goes around proclaiming the light is here, the light is here, or the lights are on, the lights are on. Sadly, so many still refuse to know him. Why? They prefer darkness to light. Notice John 3 with me. We read it already today. Verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son, the true light, which shines to every man. Still the world knew him not. Those in darkness did not have a relationship with the light. Let me end today with this poem. I put it on the back of your bulletins. It's a good Christmas poem, and I like it. Love, Love Came Down at Christmas by Christina Rossetti. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token, love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. We sing the song, Come to the Light. 'Tis shining for thee. Brightly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not.'" Do you know him? That first Christmas, love came down. Jesus lived a sinless life. He was crucified on a cross. He died so that we might live. He was buried. He resurrected. He spent some time on the earth and then ascended to be next to his Father in heaven. All of this for the forgiveness of your sins and so that you could be again in a relationship with God and not an enemy of God. Come to the light. Where do you find yourself this morning? Are you in darkness or are you in light? What is darkness? Simply the absence of light. You find yourself here this morning in darkness. It's just simply because there's the absence of Christ. But he doesn't want to be absent. He came and lived and died so that he could be present.